FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Ash Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane with traffic. It is also a Wednesday. We get to check in with our buddy Jeff Poore. Of course, you read him locally in Lanyap, nationally in Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and listen to the Jeff Poore radio show every weekday afternoon on WVNN out of Huntsville. And Jeff is going to do like we're going to do, and we're all heading to the Capitol. We're going to Goat Hill. Jeff, why is that?
I think it's just for the food, right? There's some good restaurants around Goat Hill.
If we got to figure out, where we're going to go to entertain ourselves in the evening.
Yeah, you're going
to
go on a tour, like a school tour of Montgomery?
Segway tour around the sites.
If we do that, we'll live stream Jeff and I segwaying around Goat Hill. So the governor last night with State of the State and calling for a special here. Walk us through, kind of, this is a little bit of a man bites dog, right? They gavel into regular session, and then here we go immediately into special.
Yeah, so the rumors of this started about 2 weeks ago, that this was going to be the way they were going to do it. Then we got closer and closer to it, and the emails that leaked out to the press and certain outlets sharing, telling from Del Marsh and Mac McCutcheon, the Senate President and the House Speaker, pack your bags because you're going to be here a few extra days. I just wanted to give you a heads up, which signaled to a lot of people a special session was coming. So when Ivy did it, it wasn't too much of a surprise. I'm surprised the way she did her State of the State last night, and said she was reserving the right to call the special session, but she did it like maybe 20 minutes after she wrapped up her State of the State.
Yeah, it's saying, due to the dire need to act now, I am calling the Alabama legislature into special session, focused solely on passing this critical infrastructure legislation. Beginning tomorrow as we enter this special session, we must shift our focus and tackle this issue together. It's time to make our crumbling infrastructure system a problem of the past. All right, so there's the political rhetoric. But let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this political stuff. Help educate us. What's the value in calling a special to get this done versus in a regular?
Well, I'm a little surprised she did it. I thought for sure, even during the 18 election, we didn't talk about gas tax, or we talked about infrastructure, but not raising the fuel tax. And the fact that it wasn't a campaign issue, that there wasn't some industrious politician that could have made this a campaign issue and ran and said, if you vote for me, I will not raise your gas taxes under any circumstances. No one did that. No one said that. No one made an issue out of it. And I just assumed it was a foregone conclusion. But as time started going on, I'd say probably December, it became more of an issue about, well, you know, what could, it could get hung up on the details. And the cities and the counties might fight it out. And that might slow it down. And then time went on. It looked like the cities and the counties kind of came together on an idea. And then finally, we get right up to it, and all of this sort of like caught us off guard. I think I always thought Ivy had the votes, but that she has to do this to get this through. It raises some red flags, I think. Not about the tax itself or the legislation itself, but just where the votes are coming from, or if there was going to be at least one rogue senator in the state Senate that was going to gum this up. So what she did, I think the special session, it isolates the issue, and you don't have we're not talking about mixing in a lottery. We're not talking about doing something with the grocery tax. We're not moving things and other parts and pieces around for horse trading to get this through. When you call it a special session, by statute, the only thing they can do is what the governor lays out, which is this fuel tax and infrastructure, and I think the oversight component of it.
Yeah, and following kind of the analogy that's been bouncing around in my mind is one of, like, if you had a bucket of votes that you had that you knew, okay, we've got this bucket of votes to get this passed, and then you start leaking, right? Or you're worried there's a leak in the bucket. You're going to hurry and get it as soon as you can before you lose that number of votes. The reason, you know, you do it right now, because more days that go on, more people with different opinions in the ears of members of the legislature, maybe they change that vote. Maybe they. And is there something that, in the meantime, during these days of session, the governor can do to stem those leaks, to keep people as a yes vote, or even cajole somebody from a no vote into a yes vote?
Yeah, I think the fear is that people will hear from their constituents, and that would be what would cajole them into a no or a yes vote. That this is I The reasoning is very fragile to me. We all agree something needs to be done about infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. And the fear is, I think, just there's some the idea is get to this before the opposition can really get organized, and that it can get manifest itself in the state senate or the state house. That's their fear, and that's why they want to do it this way. And I don't know where that would come from. I guess I could only find maybe two or three members that will go on the record and say they're opposing this. Ivy is strong arming everybody. I don't know. I feel like we're kind of using a sledgehammer instead of a fly swatter for what this would have taken.
Okay, and strong arm. Let's just talk about how that would look. We're not saying, I mean, we've not been in the meetings, we've not been in these discussions, but how would that work? How would that play out that people that were pushing for this gas tax for infrastructure, how would they put the strong arm on somebody who may be a no vote?
So the governor gives you a call, and Senator XYZ, KLN here, where are you on our infrastructure bill, our Rebuild Alabama Act? And they said, well, I have some concerns, blah, 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 blah. Well, let me tell you what. If you vote against this, it would be a shame for ALDOT to take that into account when they're going through the bureaucracy and determining what transportation, what road and bridge needs are priorities and what aren't. It would be a shame if that happened. So just remember that when you're casting your vote next week for this infrastructure bill. That's essentially how that goes.
I like you put the hay down there where the horses get after it, so people understand what's going on right now. Okay, and so the group that is the yes votes, they believe they've got the yes votes. Democrats working with Republicans on this? Is it split by party or split by region? What do you see laying out? What's in the tea leaves?
Democrats have said they are not going to help push this through. So they don't really need Democrats. Republicans have a supermajority. So what that means is that Republicans can, they don't have what we think of in the Congress as a filibuster. One Republican could force this into a situation where they would have to go through cloture instead of a voice vote. Like all the ayes have it. Instead, they're going to do a roll call vote. All it takes is one senator to do that on the Republican side. So it would be unheard of for a Republican member to cloture his own party mm-hmm. in the Senate. Now, the House, I think the House is a little different. The House looks like it could get through. I think Mac McCutcheon, the Speaker, has the votes. It's when it gets to the Senate, it's that point. That's when it becomes, if anything's going to happen, it's going to be on the Senate side, I believe. Now, there could be a group of House members that team up and really work to really try to do something. But I just don't know that there's any reason to believe that there's going to be organized opposition there.
All right, we'll talk more about how this is going to look going forward when we come right back with Jeff Poore as we talk about special session in Montgomery. It's the gas tax. Hey, thanks, Kane. 36 now at FM Talk 106.5, heading for a high in the 50s, says staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Last night at the conclusion of the WOM's parade, here came the big, big street sweepers getting rid of the junk up and down the streets of the city of Mobile. If you're not lucky enough to have your own agency that works at your house, if you don't have public works, if you don't have your own personal public works at the house, maybe it's time to get 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You got a whole bunch of Mardi Gras stuff you've just delivered back in the house on top of the other junk you got? Get rid of it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Got junk at your house, got junk at your office, you got a storage unit, you don't even know what's in there, but you're paying every month on it. Save the money, get rid of the junk, and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to make that appointment too. And it's not a spectrum of time. It's like an actual day and an actual time, because they know you're busy, you have a life to lead, and they respect that. So when you make that appointment, it'll be on a day, they'll give you a time, they show up, they give you a price. And if you agree on the price, that's the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was in the first place. Like if you have some big metal I-beams underneath the cardboard boxes, hey, it's on them. Check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continue our conversation with Jeff Poore. And we're talking gas tax, and it's a very big deal with a special session call. That's why we're heading to Montgomery. And I don't, when I say we're, I mean both Jeff and I, and hopefully y'all get the stories from the folks that will be taking the votes over the next couple of days when we can report from up there. Jeff, I mean, this is the, and like you said, this was not mentioned, not campaigned on, but it was a thing that 2 years ago, I know, came up with this gas tax increase, and it went nowhere in the legislature. Now it looks like it has more legs than ever.
Yeah, and I think that without an election coming up anytime soon and a bunch of new members there in the House and Senate, respectively, that it becomes more of a possibility than back when you back in 2000, 2 years ago when you just mentioned.
Yeah, and part of this, too, is because there's some people that have not paid attention to this till now. They got to get all the different moving parts of this now. It's of course, it's an increase of 10 cents total on gas and diesel, but the split out on how the money goes. I mean, it says here, special session focused on legislation to levy an additional excise tax on gasoline and diesel fuel. Legislation concerning the legislature's permanent joint transportation committee to provide for effective legislative oversight of ALDOT and the legislation to provide Alabama Highway Finance Corporation with authority to borrow money and issue bonds for the purpose of improving the Alabama State Docks and the Mobile Bay Ship Channel. So part of the gas tax money would be coming to the port.
Yeah, so, and this is a big, the big fight, I think, for a lot of people up in my listing area, or the big problem they have with it is money going for the Port of Mobile. It's just those guys down in Southwest Alabama getting money from the rest of the state. What way I understand it is Richard Shelby has a secured financing for the Port of Mobile, but as you know, when you get money from the federal government, they don't just write you a check. You have to match it to a certain percentage, and the percentage for this is like 25%, I believe, and then the federal government has the rest. And so $400 million roughly is what they're talking about for the port. I think in the bill itself, the bond issue, it's $150 million from the gas tax. They're going to pay it back $800,000 a month, something like that, until it's paid off. So that's sort of the plan there. I was a little surprised, to be honest with you, to see them go in this direction with it to try to cram it into the fuel tax. But go ahead and get your wish list out of the way, I suppose, when you're going to really cram something like this through, and that's just the idea. Now, there's some legal wrangling they had to do. The Alabama Constitution says that any money collected from the fuel tax has to be used for roads and bridges, or the whole, you know, that $60 million for the courts and the ALEA, right? They argue that a channel is a bridge, and given that it is a bridge, because it bridges two bodies of water,
oh my gosh,
that qualifies for fuel tax money. And that's how they're going to that's how they're going to make it pass muster with the Alabama Constitution.
Well, see, I mean, I'm a guy that thinks it's important to talk about what the money going to the port, but it is at least interesting how they figure out how to make it fit the definition of the Constitution of the state of Alabama. So, what about the breakdown here between rural and urban areas that we had talked about in the past? Has that all been ironed out, do you think, before they get started, that they have some agreement of how that split will go down, not the port money, but the rest of the money in this increase in the gas tax?
Yeah, I mean, you really got to hand it to Representative Bill Poole out of Tuscaloosa. He brokered this agreement long before the bill came to be. I believe counties getting 25% and municipalities only getting 8.3%. But keep in mind, municipalities can levy their own gas tax; counties cannot. So that's why the split favors the county so much. I think that I'm a little surprised that went along with everybody on the municipal side, that was okay with everyone. That's the agreement. And as you know, the way that'll be broken down, the 25% for the counties and the 8.3% for the municipalities, what they do is they first distribute it equally between all the municipalities and or counties, and then that's one half of that component. The other half, they do it
by population. So everybody kind of gets a representation of their population and a kind of a, just an equal split among the other half of that.
Right. Something that would actually be like, you know, your representation from state's representation from the House of Representatives and the Senate up in Washington, that kind of thing. You get a just exactly. A fixed amount and then by population. All right. So moving forward with this, in a special session, you mentioned it when we first started talking, but I see people saying not till no gas tax till after we address the lottery, no gas tax until we address this other taxation. In a special session, they don't have to deal with that. Is that correct? They can't. Somebody can't say, well, no, I want to do a lottery first. That I mean, can you bring that up in a special?
Nope. Well, you can, but you have to have 2/3 of the body voting for it, which doesn't look like that. There would be the votes for that. It's pretty clear. Everyone's got their marching orders. And I think and with Ivy, who was supposed to be, we were told, was in this frail, unhealthy state, sending out demands to members, I think that the getting anything else like a grocery tax swap or the lottery in this special session probably is wishful thinking.
Yeah, because I'm hearing, you know, I got some phone calls after over the last few days, too, people who maybe hadn't heard us talking about it in the past said, well, this only can be done. Governor Ivey will fail the test for signing. I think she signed Governor Norquist's pledge, the no tax pledge that he has. And so the only way she could do this and push for this is an equal, you know, reduction in taxes elsewhere, which, and I got to see if she signed it or not, but it does leave me scratching my head. Once again, if we do have to have this funding, if you take money away from state government somewhere else, doesn't that just continue to put us in a hole? I mean, you can disagree with the gas tax, but if you say, I'll agree with it if you cut it somewhere else.
A couple of things. There's a new internet sales tax that we're not really talking about, strangely, that could pay for finance some of the other things where they move the money around from. I'm not talking about that because I think they got their eyes or they got their mind set on something else for that. So as you know, the money could be moved around. The one benefit about the gas tax, and I'll tell your listeners this real quick, is if you consider it, people driving through the state of Alabama, it's not just a burden that the people of Alabama feel, that there's people from out of state coming through the state will also feel it. So the idea would be, well, if we could get some kind of offset in the grocery tax and do a tax swap, the burden wouldn't be on Alabama, on Alabamians as much as it would be otherwise. So you get money from the gas tax from people driving throughout the state, and you can offset that by giving people in Alabama a reduction in the grocery tax. I think that was kind of the argument. That argument's all but gone away now. It doesn't seem like that's going to be allowed in this special session.
All right, Ted, just joining us, talking to Jeff Poore. Of course, you read his work in Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Catch him on the radio every weekday afternoon on WVNN in Huntsville. And he, like myself, we're going to head to Montgomery to follow this through the special session. Give us the terms. When the governor calls for a special session, is it a fixed length of time, or is it until the work's done? How's that laid out?
They have 2 weeks, so the regular session's postponed for 2 weeks. So what could theoretically, here's what could happen. They have this special session, and we're on track. Now, I don't know. Something could come along. A rogue senator, a member could come along. But they could feasibly get this done by Saturday. Then from after Saturday, from whenever they pass the Rebuild Alabama Act until when the special session is back in order a week from Tuesday, the members will be able to go back home and, I guess, face the consequences and face the wrath of their constituents.
So regular session would be delayed because even though the issue would have been tackled, it would still be special session, so no regular session would take place.
No regular session takes place. Here's my question. What do they do after this? You really what? Hail, fire, fury in your first few days of the legislative session. What do you do for the next 3-4 months? Right,
Lotto.
I mean, are we gonna be discussing ad nauseum lottery like we are gas tax right now? Or are they gonna try to do Medicaid expansion? The prison reform question's out there. I wouldn't be surprised. The way Ivy is acting now, she would just go ahead with her prison reform plan. So I think all those balls are up in the air.
All right. Very good, Jeff. As always, I appreciate your time, and I'll be seeing you here tomorrow.
Yes, you will. We'll be together.
That's right. We're doing the shows from up in Montgomery. Jeff Poore with WVNN, of course, Leah Knapp and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. All right, 8:30, we'll head to national news and Dr. Bill's forecast. Then we're coming to you on the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus a lot of text about gas tax. Get to those when we come back. Y'all stay close. At 8:37, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, Kelly will be back with us tomorrow. And grab your phone calls and text right now, talking about the special session in effect now. Governor Ivey calling that special session to address the gas tax hike of 10 cents and money going to infrastructure in the state. Also, money going to the port. And I'm going to get into an email I got about that a second ago. But first, let's go to Greg in beautiful Orange Beach. Hey, man.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Well, firstly, an additional tax heaped on small business, middle-income Alabamians, and the poor is not the answer. ALDOT accountability is the answer. For example, if there's a problem or a job ALDOT does, they'll send 12 people, 5 trucks, and 3 pieces of equipment to do a job that private business or me in the construction business would send 2 men in a pickup truck with a shovel to do. ALDOT and their select few contractors, they pull from a bottomless pit of tax dollars. And an additional tax is certainly not the answer. And you know what else gets me on this is for Kay Ivey to call a special session where the threshold is lower to get it passed. I mean, that's just subversive. And my question is, why in the world, I think we now know why she didn't want a debate, because maybe this would have came up. The idea that Kay Ivey is a conservative Republican, that's ridiculous. She's a tax and spend rhino.
But, you know, the majority, I've said, but Alabama as a state, Greg, we are not a fiscally conservative state. It's social conservatism that drives the Republican votes around here. I've seen it time and time again. The fiscal conservatism is way down the list. I mean, you look at what people campaign on. It's all social conservatism, not fiscal conservatism.
Well, you may be right, but I can tell you, not everybody feels that way. I've talked to people all over the state. And people are outraged about this tax, and especially how they're going about it. And I have called my legislative delegation as Steve McMillan and Chris Elliott. Of course, we all know Chris Elliott. Well, he'll raise your tax in a heartbeat. He did it as a county commissioner. But neither one of them will turn their phone calls and even talk about this. And I truly believe that the voting public in Alabama is going to remember these folks who are ramming this gas tax down their throat, because everybody knows gas is going to go back up. And when it does, this is an additional burden on small business and the working class in the state of Alabama. I know Sandy Stimson wants it. Sandy Stimson ain't got to worry about buying gas like the rest
and all
of
and all the five
does.
The five big mayors that came out like 3-4 weeks ago, they had their meeting. Even Tommy Battle in Huntsville, and Mayor Stimson, Mayor Maddox, who else? The five bigs in the state all signed on for this infrastructure bill.
Well, I can understand that, and if I am Tommy Battle, who will probably run for governor again, he'll want this money in place so he ain't got to raise taxes, because he'll get voted out for that. And if you notice, all these governors, they go to raise tax in their last term, just like Bob Riley tried to do, and that got voted down. Kay Ivey, her legacy is going to be she rammed the tax down the citizens of the state of Alabama.
Do you think that there's also, I mean, but you, unless something changes right now, and by the way, if y'all didn't hear this morning, taking Midday and the Morning Show live to Montgomery tomorrow and Friday, in which, by the way, I hope it looks like both Steve McMillan and Chris Elliott will be on with me, and I will ask them those specific questions, Greg. But also, I hope to have Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh with me, who has been a supporter of this. Speaker McCutcheon has been a supporter of this. So hopefully we'll have both of those representatives and senator on as well. I mean, there seems to be not just Governor Ivey and many others pushing this.
Well, I'm sure that there are. And I absolutely believe that the Republicans who vote for this are going to be faced with stiff opposition when they have to run for re-election. And I'm dumbfounded at why they think this is necessary. What they should do is demand accountability from ALDOT. But to do that is going to require work, and it's going to require upsetting the apple cart, because ALDOT has done business the way they do business all these years, and those big contributors who helped Kay Ivey get in office, they're ALDOT contractors, and all these other people, these governor wannabes, they want this tax in place before they take office, and they need the money.
I'm gonna steal that one from you. GWBs, governor wannabes. I like it. Greg, thanks for the call. I got to grab a couple others. And yeah, so we are going to be live in Montgomery asking these questions of our local delegation, plus hopefully having folks like Del Marsh on and others to talk about why they believe this tax needs to be done. And then, of course, the nuances with money from that coming to the port. Email question from John says, the port reports millions of dollars in revenue through the ports. And I hate to be corrector guy, but I think I've read something. It was billions, but of revenue through the ports. Where is that money going? I'm not against the gas tax. I think our roads and bridges need it desperately. Okay, so when they talk about those billions, I'm sure that's, and we'll dig into it, but I have a feeling that's going to be one of those total economic, it's not tax revenue, it's, total economic impact, for the state of Alabama. So that's why they come up with those numbers. Let's see. Also, from the text line, let me, doing too many things at one time. All right. Which, by the way, because this separate thing I was doing on the text line, we have one of our listeners, one of our texters, I asked the question about that scary story from Goshen, mm-hmm. where the tractor trailer was coming into the rest stop, and it said the two tires came loose from the tractor trailer and killed this Tulane college kid, 21-year-old, by a car. And I was thinking maybe it was like the way treads come off of 18-wheeler tires, and I said it wouldn't be the whole thing. Well, this listener said it was two tires and wheels struck the young lady, also crashed into a SUV. This person has a reason to know what happened. I'm not going to identify why, but they know what happened. So the whole rim and tire came off of these two.
That's awful.
It is awful with the death, and it's just so odd, this situation where one of those strange deaths kind of thing. God bless her family. I mean, the tires come off and just roll through. I mean, think about it. If they're going fast, the weight of those tires.
I can't imagine how terrifying that is. I mean, you pull over into a rest stop. It's not like she was over on the side of the road.
She was in the rest stop.
In the rest stop, and those tires were probably just flying across there. Scary stuff.
I appreciate the additional information from the text line. All right, Dell says, keep in mind no adjustment on spending or income has taken place since Ivy and company took $1 billion of our BP funds. Well, wasn't Ivy that was took the BP fund. She came in after that. But I agree with you in spirit, but that's not on Governor Ivy's watch. Governor Ivy's going to high-step the tax right through. I gotcha. I told you if she would bring out the high-step in turkeys, she would have had some. If when she did that speech last week in Maplesville to roll out this tax increase, she'd have had Clyde and Henrietta, the turkeys. Maybe the polling would be a little bit better right now, Governor. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. And Freddie is in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning. I need you to help me as much as you can. I live in the downtown area, and that coal ash from the coal terminal, Alabama Power is killing those people by dumping the ash from their plants up here. But we are starting it in Mobile, shipping that coal up there. I live in a neighborhood, you don't see the berries in there anymore because it's not a dust, it's a granular. When it settles on the ground and in the water and they people bird feeder, it's there as coal, not dust. Dust, water dissolved dust. But this is hard granular coal all over the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know, I know that this has been addressed in front of the city council a couple times. Have you heard any kind of resolution to this?
But somebody, case of Callaway, come back today, they're going to put a dome over that thing. And Sean, you need to ride through that neighborhood behind the Civic Center and just look at the sidewalks, people walking their dogs. If you got a water bird feed out there, that coal dust is settling on
I
that,
was there yesterday, Freddie.
And you're killing it. And it's going into the Mobile Bay down there.
Yeah, I was actually in that neighborhood yesterday at a friend's house at a Mardi Gras party. So we'll talk more about this coming up. By the way, that was addressed yesterday. Comet Cowboys, one of their signs, said, bad news, airport's moving downtown. Good news is the jets will blast off the coal dust. see, it's bad news, good news. You just got to look at it different ways. 847, coming right back to you at 343-0106. Just the bulb, right? As we're watching the power fade, like in some bad, you know, it's like in some bad science fiction movie. And here was a when we're losing the reactor, Captain.
The flickering.
It's kind of interesting. That's right. I guess you're pulling all the wattage we do. Who knows what happens? All right, welcome back. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Online, fmtalk1065.com, where when you check out our three big things, top stories today, the middle one, number two there, is about the telethon going on through 7 o'clock this evening. This is going on through the Alabama Broadcasters Association. Our news partners at WKRG are actually doing a telethon now through 7 o'clock. Phone banks are open, and this is for the Red Cross. This is money to go to those families there in the Beauregard, Smith Station area in East Alabama and Lee County that have lost everything. Of course, the loss of life is 23 and could go up from there. The youngest victim, I think, 6, oldest 89. It's heartbreaking stuff hearing from the families also that made it through with their lives, but they have nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people say that, and they truly, you see people standing in their yard and their home is gone, you know, their trailer home is gone, their stuff is gone, their vehicles are laid over somewhere else. Can you imagine just in an instant having no things, having, not that life is all about things or material possessions, but having a roof over your head and transportation, you know, and then that's gone.
Just a massive trail of destruction. We have one of those drone videos up on our Facebook page that was taken yesterday, or actually it was right after the storm, so it was like Monday morning, but this drone video. And it's, I mean, the destruction, it was such a wide tornado and did so much damage. What the sign you were saying, like an interstate-sized billboard.
So, yeah, the big billboard, y'all, like you would see on the interstate, was somewhere nearby Beauregard, was picked up by the tornado and deposited 20 miles to the northeast. 20 miles northeast. And I mean, I know it's not like I've never heard of tornadoes picking things up. I mean, that's always one of the big stories, deposit them further off. But it's just wild to see something that size carried that far. And then, Lord knows, in this case, it dropped in an open area. But what if that dropped then on a person or a house? It's wild. It's wild. And the path of devastation is huge. And there are so many people affected. Once again, this fundraiser, this telethon going on with our news partners at WKRG goes through 7 o'clock this evening. Phone number 662-3047. We got it posted up. But if you can write it down right now, you call in with your donation to the American Red Cross to help those families there. 662-3047.
Yeah, that's the number to call. I'm also seeing already some news. I know Lee County was reaching out and saying, hey, don't just bring donations. right now. They've got a lot of donations, but right now having trouble knowing where to put them. So the best thing to do is to donate through WKRG or someone who's putting that money to good use there in Lee County. But I know they've said a couple corporations have offered to pay for the funerals for all 23 of the victims, and that number right now is at 23. Could still go up because there's still people that are missing.
I see that text. Do we know the name of that?
I haven't seen the release of the corporation's names yet. They're still working on that right now. But also Alabama and Auburn, they played basketball last night, held a moment of silence going into the game. Of course, Alabama is no stranger to the destruction the tornadoes can do with those awful tornadoes in Tuscaloosa years ago. But both Auburn, who's right there in Lee County, and Alabama, they're doing a lot, and they're going to put forth some money towards the effort too.
All right, so y'all check that out and do donate today. Help out those folks right here in our own state. I'm looking at a bunch of different texts here, and Mike, I appreciate this. When y'all send these texts, I'm going to put this in my show notes, because leaving tomorrow, heading to Montgomery, we'll be doing maybe 1 hour of tomorrow's morning show. I don't know. See if we can do it. But for sure, Midday Mobile tomorrow, and then the morning show and the midday show on Friday. Going to be live in Montgomery, covering what's going on in special session. And I'm going to have delegation members from down here in our area, plus leaders of the hopefully Senate and maybe the House, and get their take on why this should be passed. And Mike puts a question in here. I'll bring this one up. Mike says, why isn't the port paying for the port improvements? And we'll reach out to the folks at the port, because he asks, how many containers come into the port annually? How many gallons of fuel or lighters aboard these vessels are not taxed for road use? We as gas and diesel consumers should not be paying for the port. And yes, I have a maritime background. So that's a very fair question. I was told before that the key here was getting the money because of this, what Senator Shelby had acquired, head of appropriations. I told you, he walks with a swagger in Washington. He's always been a big one for bringing pork home to Alabama. But bringing money home, maybe it's a 80-20 or is it a 70-30? I think it's 80-20 of federal money for the port expansion and deepening. But the state has to come up with their match. And for some reason, even though the governor says anything about bonding, I was told they couldn't bond that money. Maybe they have to have this gas tax to be able to bond it, to be able to say, here's where the payment will come from. But Mike, I'll ask your question and so many others I'm going to take with me to Montgomery. We'll try to get at least the questions asked, and hopefully you'll get the answers you're looking for. All right, coming back at noon today for Midday Mobile, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.